Good morning, Grace Assembly. Come on, turn to somebody and say, you are looking good this morning. Come on. Come on, turn to somebody and say, the pastor is looking good as well. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be here this morning to worship with you. Thank you, Brother Kate and the worship team. Give them a good encouragement this morning. Amen. Before I became Youth Alive Director, I was the National Worship Director for many, many years, one of the longest serving in the Assemblies of God. Even the last BGM, somebody asked me about the worship conference that's coming. I said, no longer in the worship department. Praise the Lord. I want to thank Pastor Reverend David Ramaya this morning. Although he's not here, I want to just acknowledge him and thank him for this privilege to grace your pulpit. He has impacted my life quite tremendously, especially when I was young. He was our camp speaker, youth camp speaker, and truly has impacted my life. I'm also so honored that I have come to know Pastor Stefan and Pastor Joanna. I really appreciate their friendship and their fellowship. We have become quite close recently, and it's really a blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? I've entitled my message this morning as Every Praise Counts. Everybody say, every praise counts. So let me start with a little story. It's a humor actually, but I like to start my sermon always with a little humor. A couple was married for 60 years. The wife visits the husband every other day in the nursing care as her husband got weaker. And the wife will go and visit him and comfort him with kind words and remind him of the sweet memories. One day, the husband said, honey, can you do me a favor? After I pass away, I really don't like my name, Unbelievable. His name is Unbelievable, right? Okay. I really don't like my name, Unbelievable. Can you just not put my name on the tombstone, you know? And the wife looked at the husband and said, hubby, you have been a loving husband. And the wife said, you know, sure, because you have been always so loving to me. And as the months went by, he passed away, and she remembered and she honored her husband, right? So since the husband didn't like the word unbelievable, this is what she wrote in the tombstone. He said, this is my husband. He's a loving husband. He enjoyed my cooking and ate all my meals. He never cheated, remained faithful, and he frequently gave me roses. And that's what she wrote in the tombstone. And since that day, everyone who passed that tombstone looked at the tombstone and said, that is unbelievable. That is unbelievable. But I've got good news for you this morning, brothers and sisters. The Word of God is believable. Can somebody say amen, brothers and sisters? The Word of God is believable. Father, we want to thank you for your presence in this house. We thank you that you're already here. You have already started ministering to many of us this morning. Lord, we want to commit your word to you. Let us not walk out of this door the same way we came in. But Lord, let us be renewed and transformed for your glory, O God. And Lord, let us go out of this place changed. Bless your word this morning, God. Bless your people this morning. And bless your servant this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask. And everybody say, every praise count. Friends, I want you to know as we get to the next slide, worship can bring us to living to bless God. And living blessed by God. Can somebody say amen? Worship can bring us to a place that we are living to bless God and living blessed by God. By living to bless God, we intentionally choose to live in praise. That means that we are living to worship God in reverence, adoration, and delight in Him. The psalmist exhorts us in Psalms 134 verse 1, come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stands by night in the house of the Lord. Where, brothers and sisters? Come on, help me out. Where, brothers and sisters? In the house of the Lord. When we bless God, when every day of our lives is marked by praising Him, then it helps us to know where we are and where we need to go next. When we direct our attention to God in praise, we realize this amazing reality. God actually reaches out to us. He does. And He teaches us His ways. And many times, brothers and sisters, we may just have an encounter with the living God. It happens during praise and worship. So in this way, God blesses us. I want you to know that Psalms 134 is what we call the pilgrim psalm. It means that this psalm was written when the people of God are on pilgrimage. Pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And this is a hard journey, I want you to know. You know, through the deserts. And they are going to Jerusalem to worship God. And in the hardship, in the journey that they are going through, you know what, brothers and sisters? They are writing songs. So this is one of those songs that they wrote. Come, bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. And in that journey, they are writing praises to God. How many of you know that we are in a pilgrimage? How many of you know that, brothers and sisters? How many of you know that this journey is not easy? Right? Now, I want you to know that the psalmist and all those people, they were going to Jerusalem. Our destiny, brothers and sisters, is not the Jerusalem that's sitting in Israel right now. Our destiny, brothers and sisters, is the new Jerusalem. Come on, can somebody say amen, brothers and sisters? While we get there, this journey may not be easy. While we get there, brothers and sisters, we may face hardship. And you and I have to choose whether we are going to go rejoicing before the Lord, writing new songs in our heart to worship Him and get there, or we can wallow in our self-pityness and just go through a period of depression. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? But the psalmist did well. In this journey, they decided to praise God because God is everything to them. Can somebody say amen? Let's move on to the introduction. I will spend a little bit of time because this is where I build my theology. Let me begin with the theology of worship in a nutshell. And we're going to dwell here a little bit. I believe Paul laid a brilliant theology of what worship ought to be. So in a nutshell, worship brings us to a place that we are a living sacrifice before God. Amen? That we are a living sacrifice before God. Amplified Bible, I don't have to do any commentary. The Amplified Bible gives a clear commentary and you can see it on the screen. And we need to break it down this morning. First is the presentation. What do we present? We present our bodies. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? In the Old Testament, you and I, we know that the people brought animals and they were sacrificed before the Lord. And they were basically dead, you know, and sacrificed before the Lord. So that was the Old Testament way of worship. But in the New Testament, we are done with that. God doesn't want any dead animals to be sacrificed. God wants our bodies to be a living sacrifice. Come on, can somebody say amen, brothers and sisters? How many of you know that every single sin is committed through this body? Right? Every single thing, our hands can steal things, our mouth can gossip, you know, every single thing, we can murder people with this body. Every single sin is committed through this body. And what we do with our body matters to God. God wants this body to be pure before Him because it is the temple of God. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hence, God wants this body to be pure. So we need to present this body to God. Because what we do with this body matters to God, brothers and sisters. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18, if you can just write it down. Paul strongly exhorted believers not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Many Christians ignore this warning, right? If you look at the Bible correctly, what Christ has to do with Belial. In other words, when we give ourselves into marriage to an unbeliever, we are actually welcoming Belial. Belial means it's an idol. In other words, we are welcoming idols into our lives. So the Bible teaches us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when there's a marriage union with unbelievers, in other words, the Bible is saying we are going back to idolatry. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, those who have already been married, Paul reminded the church that the unbelieving partner becomes sanctified through the believing partner. Can somebody say amen, brothers and sisters? So in no way the Bible is advocating us to get a divorce. Their marriage are sanctified through the believing spouse. So what else do we see here, brothers and sisters? Next, there need to be a separation. Everybody say separation. You can see this in verse 2. We need to be separated. We separate ourselves from conforming to the lifestyle of the world. Manning Brennings, a theologian, a great theologian, once said this: the greatest single cause of atheism are Christians. They confess Jesus with their mouth, walk out of the door, denied by their lifestyles. And this is what the unbelieving world finds it unbelievable. So in other words, the reason why people do not want to become Christians are because of Christians. They say something, but their lifestyles show something else. How many of you know that our belief and our behavior must go together? Come on, can somebody say amen? Our belief and our behavior must go together. The greatest testimony that we have, brothers and sisters, is our life testimony. And when we are separated from the world, if you really think about it, it's all good. It only benefits us, actually, you know. And when the people see that this is a testimony, they are attracted to the God that we are serving, brothers and sisters. Then there's a call to be transformed, renewed by the renewing of our mind. It goes to say the way we think cannot be like unbelievers. Our thoughts must be godly and pure. We must progressively mature, focusing on godly values and ethical attitude. And finally, brothers and sisters, we must demonstrate the will of God. It should be displayed. If Christ and the Word of God doesn't do any good to us, why should people follow Jesus Christ? It should be displayed in our lives, acceptable and perfect. And this is done usually through our service to God. When people see us serving God wholeheartedly, devoted before Him, they are looking at it, amen, these people are different. They are countercultural. They really love their God. There must be something there. There must be something there in the house of God that week after week they are going there to receive something. Come on, are you with me this morning, brothers and sisters? When all these things are taking place, this is our spiritual act of worship. We are a living sacrifice unto God, brothers and sisters. Amen. So let me bring your attention to the power of praise. That was just my introduction. I believe praise brings us to a place where we can have an encounter with God. Amen. Our gathering here is not in vain. I grew up in church. I'll let you know. I was not born in a Christian family. I grew up in a Hindu family. But I slept in church. I believe me, there's something there. There's something in the house of God. I love the house of God. Our praise is a significant act. Every act of praise, brothers and sisters, when we praise God, there is an inner shift that's taking place. This morning, I want to highlight a few, if we can get to the next slide. First, praise gets our focus back on God. Praise gets our focus back on God. If you can get to the next slide, brothers and sisters. Psalms 150, verse 2. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. I want to read Psalms 35, verse 28 as well. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and all and of your praise all the day long. All day long. The psalmist is constantly
bringing into remembrance to praise God for every single thing that goes on the whole day, basically. All day long. Is it possible? Yeah, it is possible. It is possible to praise God all day long. Come on, can I hear an amen this morning? God desires our eyes to be set firmly on Him because that's where our true hope is found, brothers and sisters. He's worthy of our praise no matter what we face from day to day. Psalm 63, verse 1, our worship leader exhorted us, or Sister Pastor Joanna exhorted us to lift up our hands. We can praise God with extended hand. It means that we are expressing our gratitude and thankfulness as we surrender our hands before the Lord, brothers and sisters. And this is called yada. Everybody say yada. So every time you lift up your hands in surrender, it is what we call yada. It's an act of praise. It's saying, God, I am thankful. My heart is filled with gratitude. And I surrender my life before you. And that's what yada means, brothers and sisters. I want you to know, in our self-centered world, we need a constant reminder that life is not about us. It is not about us, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we are so prone to selfishness, but God desires that our eyes to be set firmly on Him, because that's where, brothers and sisters, we can experience Him and have an encounter with Him. He's worthy of our praise no matter what we face day to day. And this is why we need to have that yada posture, a Hebrew expression of worship. He's saying, God, at the end of the day, I surrender my life to you. At the end of the day, I come to a place that I can't do anything about the situation, but I can surrender my situation to you. Hallelujah. And I want you to know God does a marvelous work. You know, if you look at Psalms 84, verse 2, the sons of Korah wrote this psalm. The sons of Korah are basically the temple guards. And this is what they said: my soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Hallelujah. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. The psalmist is so consumed by the intense desire to worship God. Tell me, when was the last time your flesh desired to praise God? When was the last time your flesh yearned for the living God? If anything, I want you to know, this flesh always wants gratification. Am I right? This flesh always wants to be gratified. But the psalmist is saying that my flesh yearns for you. My soul yearns for you. Hallelujah. It brings us to a place to understand the psalmist, for the psalmist, brothers and sisters, and all of us need to get there. For the psalmist, all that mattered in his life was to praise God. Was to praise God. Let me just share a little testimony of mine. The day I finished my SPR, my major examination, I was already working full-time in a 5-star hotel as a waiter. My dad told me, you're on your own. You know, we came from a poor family. My dad already had a stroke by then. He was bedridden. And he said, you are on your own. So I had to work and I had to study. And I want you to know, although I had to work 8 hours a day and sometimes I had to do overtime, I had to go into service industry because I can work at night and daytime I can go to college, do my A-levels. So I was working full-time and studying full-time. In between, try to get some rest. So my journey was like that for the last three to four years of my journey. It was like that. So every Sunday, during that time, our church service was in a hotel in Jalan Raja Laut called Grand Continental Hotel. Every Sunday, 7 o'clock in the morning, church van will come and horn in my house. Very little time to prepare myself. We get into the van, go to KL City Center, set up the whole stage for the worship service. I just came back at 2 in the morning. And 7 o'clock, somebody is at the doorstep. And sometimes during the worship service, I'll be nodding off. Really, I can't help myself. My flesh is so weak. I'm nodding off and somebody will be pinching me here, pinching me there, everywhere. You know. But you know what? My spiritual formation was intact. I never miss church. I never miss the youth services. I never miss the prayer meeting. I will somehow work out the schedule. Change. Nobody wants to work on Saturday night, the busiest time. But I would change my schedule to Saturday night. They will be begging. Some of them are willing to pay money for me to change my schedule with them. I would do that so that I can attend the youth ministry in the afternoon and then rush to work. And then Sunday morning, I can attend the morning service as well. This was my life. Because praise was such an important thing in my life. Worship was such an important thing in my life. I can tell you this, brothers and sisters. Every time I come to the house of God, I have an encounter with God. Something happens in my heart. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen, brothers and sisters? That's why Psalmist said in Psalms 84, verse 10, better is one day in the house of the Lord than to be 1,000 days elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to be in the tents of the wicked. Something there, give me something to do in the house of God. May it be the job of a doorkeeper. Give me something to do in the house of God. It'll be better than anything else I can do out there in the world, brothers and sisters. The psalmist has found the secret. You and I can find that secret as well. Are you with me this morning, brothers and sisters? Hallelujah. Let's move on. Praise invokes God's presence. How many of you know that? Whenever we pray, wherever we are, at home, anywhere, it invokes God's presence. What does the psalmist say in Psalms 16, verse 11? You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Hallelujah. Psalm 63, verse 3 and 4. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. Amen. Hallelujah. There is joy in the presence of God. Can somebody say amen? You know, whenever we are in the presence of God, when we praise God, something takes place in our heart. It is not about us anymore, brothers and sisters. It's about Him. It's about invoking His presence into our life. Hallelujah. You know, being the youth, National Youth Director, and we're having a lot of activities for the young people. Teens Empowered, for example, hundreds of teenagers will come together and have a revival time with God. Sometimes my parents in the church will tell me, Pastor, you know, my kids, you know, I'm encouraging 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds to come. And the parents will come and tell me, Pastor, you know, they are too young. They may not understand what is going on and so forth. You know, there's this Pakistani family in our church called the Imrans. And I still do mission work. Once a month, I pick them up. We have a rotation. I go and pick them up for church services. So I decided to invite them for this Teen Empowered, you know. And the parents said, please, you know, Pastor, take them and go. There are three of them, you know, quite active kids, you know. So I brought them to Teens Empowered. And Sunday morning, it was my duty to pick them up for morning service. I want to do it. I want you to know that. It's not that I have to. I want to do it. Because for me, I'm doing mission work. Right? So I'm picking them up. And father and mother ran to me and said, Pastor, thank you. Thank you for bringing my kids yesterday for the Teens Empowered rally. They came back home. They are so changed. And there was so much joy in his face. And said, I'm so glad to hear that. I want you to know something, brothers and some sisters. There's something you and I can do, but there are things only God can do in his presence. Come on. Can somebody say amen, brothers and sisters? We can do whatever we want, but it is God's presence that changes us. It doesn't matter if they understand English or not. They understand the word of God or not. Whatever I do today, end of the day, it is the presence of God. Hallelujah. And you and I need to put our place in that scene, brothers and sisters. In God's presence. Hallelujah. Let me move on quickly. Church, there is power when we praise God. Praise releases the power of God. Amen. Praise releases, we can get to the next slide, the power of God. You know the story when Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God in Acts chapter 16, God's power was released. And let me read this. You know, I have time to read the Bible. Sometimes we hear this all the time. To save time, we just skip the scriptures, all right? But I have time this morning and I want to read Acts chapter 16, verse 25, verse 26. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Hallelujah. So the prison doors were opened. The jailer wanted to kill himself. You read the passage, because they thought that the prisoners have already escaped. But Paul cried out to the jailer, stopped him, and assured the jailer that they are still there. You know, and the jailer came before Paul and bowed down and fell down before Paul and asked, what must he do to be saved? Praise invokes, praise releases the power of God, brothers and sisters. So Paul said, believe in Jesus and you will be saved and your household. This is the scripture whenever you pray, you know, if God saves somebody, God will save the whole household. Remember, this is the scripture. This is our basis. This is where it came from. And the Bible says he and his whole household were saved and baptized on the same day. Hallelujah. Can it get better than this, brothers and sisters? Beloved, praise releases the power of God. I'm sure you know Darlene Check. She wrote this powerful worship song a couple of years ago, just a few years ago. She wrote this song called In the Name of Jesus with Israel Houghton. Much later, after writing this song, she found out that she had breast cancer. In fact, lately, just 2 weeks ago, somebody put this fake news in the internet and she passed away. She's very much alive, brothers and sisters, I want you to know. So the lyrics even declare, I'll live and not die. I will declare and lift you high. Christ revealed, and I'm healed in Jesus' name. The lyrics of the song. Months later, she had to cling on to her own song, brothers and sisters, because she discovered that she had cancer. She had to cling on to the words that she wrote because she was battling cancer. Darlene Check told in a radio station interview while she was going through this period, hard time in her life. She said, worshiping is not about a mountaintop experience, but about looking to God through all of life's circumstances, both good and bad. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to encourage you. If you are facing a battle in your life, listen to me very carefully. Please follow me. If you are facing a battle in your life, counter them with praise. Counter them with praise. From age 42 to, I think, 52, I think, nearly 10 years, I was struggling with tendonitis. I love to play soccer, you know, and this, I probably got injured through, because of soccer. Went to all Cairo and physio and so forth. Finally, the doctors told me that I need a surgery, you know, to deal with this. And somebody said, you know, go for that steroids and things like that. You know, I didn't want to go there, you know. But one Sunday morning, this happened about 4 years ago, on Easter Sunday morning, we had a guest speaker and the pastor said, anyone who needs physical healing, just stand up right now. And every time after sitting down for a while, more than half an hour, when I stand up, there will be a pain, for sure. Then I'll be walking a while and then it'll be gone. Then every time I sit, it starts again. So to a point that when I walk, I was not straight. You know, it shows, and people have asked me, are you okay? Is your back okay? You know, to that point. But I stood up and I felt a warm feeling coming down my body. A warm feeling coming. Went back home. I didn't say anything to anybody. Went back home and told my wife. My wife told me, this is wisdom. Let me tell you this. My wife told me, go and play football today. If your legs are swollen, that means you are not healed. If it's not so, because every time With tendonitis, I still went for soccer. And I would come with a swollen little knee. And I would put ice and all that. So I went for soccer, came back. It was not swollen. And until today, it never got swelled up, brothers and sisters. God heals today. Not just yesterday. God heals us today. Praise, brothers and sisters, releases God's power. God done it in the past and He will do it in the future as well. As the worship team come forward to get ready to lead us into this powerful song, every praise, hallelujah. Let me just finish this off with another powerful testimony, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. I want to affirm you this morning. Praise pushes back the forces of evil. Amen. If you can get to the next slide. Praise pushes back the forces of evil. Jesus reminded us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There is evil, brothers and sisters. There are the power of darkness that's working around us. And we are asked to pray that we will be delivered from the forces of evil. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Apostle Peter reminded us, believers, your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So friends, the devil is out there looking for somebody to devour. The forces of evil is out there. But I want you to know something. We have a great God. Come on. We have an all-powerful God, brothers and sisters. We have a God who can help us to push back the forces of evil. Hallelujah. Psalms 27, verse 6. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Praise pushes back darkness and blocks the attack of the evil one. In the story of Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we see God miraculously defeated the enemies because of the people's obedience. You know what they did? You know the story? They praised God. They obeyed the instruction of God and they praised God. Your mercy. Give thanks to the Lord for your love endures forever. Hallelujah. They praised God. They decided to praise God. So it was a song of declaration and victory begins, brothers and sisters, when we praise God. Hallelujah. No matter what situation you are in this morning, I want to encourage you to praise God. Can you do that, brothers and sisters? Just praise Him. You know, when we exercise our faith by praising God, even in difficult situations, something takes place. The power of God moves. Hallelujah. Before we sing this song, Every Praise, let me just give you a little backdrop of this song. You know, there was a 10-year-old boy by the name of Willie Myrick. This song was written by Hezekiah Walker, by the way. Willie Myrick was a 10-year-old boy. He was kidnapped. It took place in America. You can Google this out. There's so much story about this. He was kidnapped. This 10-year-old boy was kidnapped. And the abductors held him for hours. And throughout that experience or journey, there's one thing that William Myrick did that was to sing a song. And that song was Every Praise by Hezekiah Walker. Every praise to our God. Every praise to our God. And kept on singing that song again and again for 3 hours. For 3 hours. And you know what? Something took place. This is where we say, God pushed back the forces of the evil one. These abductors, these kidnappers, you know what they did? They got so disillusioned, so confused, they just kicked the boy out of the car. Come on, can somebody say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. I want you to know now, this is the catch, brothers and sisters. Don't miss this out. This is the catch. The boy did not praise God when he was released. He praised God while he was still in captivity, brothers and sisters. Paul and Silas was praising God, not when they were released, but they praised God while they were in captivity, brothers and sisters. And this is what God does. Paul, David was in the wilderness. He lost everything. He lost his throne. He lost his wealth. He lost his family. He lost everything. But he chose to praise God. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Not while they had the liberty or when they were released from captivity, but while they were still in captivity, they did one thing right. That was to praise the living God. Come on, stand with me, brothers and sisters. Come on, let's praise him this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, every praise. Hallelujah.